Hello and welcome to the Use Because podcast. Deeper learning from the best business minds to have ever put pen to paper. I am going to make you thin, happy, attractive, rich, fulfilled, and maybe even successful with my magical words and my slightly condescending tone in this podcast series. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take your miserable life and I'm going to compare it to my own incredible existence. And I'm going to point out all of the areas which I have succeeded in while giving vague hints of what you need to do to be a better person. I'm going to use phrases like just be yourself and dare to dream. And it's going to be your fault if you're not happy at the end of this series. I may even deliver some pseudoscience and back it up with facts that have shaky foundations at the very best. I'll go on to Oprah and I'll expound my intelligence while telling the world that everyone can do it. Everyone except you. I'm not sure you're up to the task of making changes in your life. You may actually be beyond the help that's needed. Or then again, maybe you're just taking it all too seriously. Maybe making improvements in your life, it's easier than you think. Maybe, just maybe, you're not as stuck as you think you are. Maybe you need to pull back from the idea that reaching for some abstract version of happiness, this incredible life that's just waiting out there somewhere, and you need to start with something much more straightforward, simple, and achievable. Rocket science. I'm just kidding. Astrophysics. I don't even know what that is. So what are we going to cover in this series? Well, we're going to fix you. That's a joke. Obviously, there's no fixing you. It's a joke again, right? Get used to it. You don't need to fix anything. You need to take a look at your life as a series of decisions and experiences, and some are good and some are bad and some you're neutral about. And I guess the essence of this whole series is I want you to discover the things that matter to you to help you to do more of those things and do less of the things that matter to you. In order to do that, we need to look backwards a little bit before we actually go forwards. And that means you need to know where you came from, how you made your decisions, and why you're interested in some things but not others. And don't worry, there's no brainwashing going on here. That doesn't happen till the fourth episode, I believe. So we're going to start by investigating where you came from. Not literally, obviously, right? We all know that the stork left you under the cabbage patch in the back garden. But if you think about a newborn baby, they don't know anything. Seriously, right? They are incapable of lifting their own head for about a year. But one thing they can do, and do incredibly well, is fill a nappy with inhumanely noxious chemicals. Now that is amazing. The rest of what they do for the first while is not impressive at all. At some point, and it seems like it's pretty much overnight, they go from not being able to control their hands to telling you that you're putting their shoes on the wrong feet when you clearly aren't. And then a while after that again, they tell you from the back seat of the car when the traffic light goes green, just in case you missed it, and it basically gets worse from there. Eventually, at some point in the future, you end up with a not-so-little person who has their own thoughts, opinions, and outlooks on life and how it should be going. And that's where it gets interesting. And the reason this is interesting is because, well, where did it all come from? All of these opinions. I sure as shit did not tell her that she likes purple t-shirts or that Peppa Pig is the greatest, funniest thing to happen since Paw Patrol. So she must be getting it from somewhere. And it all comes down to what's known as the critical faculty. Think about any kid you know who's less than, say, 5 years old. The chances are that you can tell that kid that you're going to time them to get your phone charger from your bedroom upstairs, and they'll go zooming off and they'll bounce off the walls and trip over toys to try and beat their best time. But if you ask an 8-year-old to nip upstairs and get your phone charger, you're going to be met with the slouching of the shoulders and an eye roll so hard that they almost fall over. So what happens in those short intervening years? The critical faculty happens. Between the ages of about 0 and 5, children are like an open book. They take their lead from whoever they are spending the most time with. That's why a young girl who's almost 3 will tell you that she wants a Star Wars birthday cake for her 3rd birthday, purely because her 2 older cousins tell you that's what she wants. And she's more than happy to go along with it. But if you ask her again on her 8th birthday, she'll have a much stronger sense of herself and won't be as easily swayed by the Kylo Ren-loving cousins. And this change will be down to the critical faculty. As a small child, we have to take in a lot of information. Opinions and ideas become imprinted, like a father who screams at his favourite football team on the television. This behaviour then gets mimicked by the child. It's an obvious example that we've all witnessed. It's the behaviours that we do not see that are actually the most important. the ones the child files away until a much later date. How to speak to a waiter in a restaurant, how to take criticism, how to have an argument. All of these types of things and more are learned through observation of whoever the guardians are. So let's get back to you. What makes you, you? Well, the first point is to look back at your very early childhood. The behaviours you saw were most likely the behaviours that you now emit. It stands to reason that you didn't lick them off a stone. You observed and you replicated. But to get a little bit more specific, let's say your father stuck at a job that he hated so that he could provide for his family. What are the ramifications on you growing up seeing that day in, day out? Let's consider the broad options. Number one, you are now doing the exact same thing for yourself and your family. And this is a scarcity mentality, the idea that there's only one job and I better hold on to it just in case. It's a crazy way to live your life. Two, you react in the exact opposite way. You saw that the sacrifice and where it led to, and somewhere along the way you decided you're never going to do that. This could be having its own consequences on you right now. And three, you don't feel that impacted by it at all. And this could be true, or it could have given you an outlook in a different part of your life. It's conceivable that maybe now you have a short fuse with people in authority, for example. Or not. Who knows? You do that too. You look back on your own life and you decide for yourself which bits mattered and which bits had no impact. The fact is, it doesn't really matter if you're right or wrong about it. You just have to first look at it and understand it and acknowledge it.